practical web accessibility tips. Hello, and welcome to WebAx, episode 26. This is your host, Dennis, and today the episode is mostly going to be about lists and accessibility, how and why. And it's a special episode today. I have a friend with me, Ross Johnson from 3.7 Designs in Ann Arbor. Hi, Ross.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
No problem. Ross has a similar company to mine out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is very close to where I'm at. But why don't you go ahead and talk about your company for a minute, Ross?
Sure. Yeah, like you said, it's called 3.7 Designs, and we do web design and development and some online marketing, focusing on web standards and accessibility and usability. And if you're interested in looking at our website, that'd be excellent. The site is annarbor-webdesign.com, and that's spelled annarbor-webdesign.com. Actually, that's a new domain because we tried recording this episode a few days ago and it didn't turn out, and I realized it was pretty hard to remember my other domain, so I bought another one.
So it's Ann-Arbor?
Ann Arbor, no dash. So oh, Ann-Arbor-webdesign.com. No problem.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know you got a new domain.
Yeah, that was pretty recent.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a cool website, so check it out. And the work that he's done is very, very good. I was impressed when I came across his site, and I got in touch with Ross a couple months ago, and it was neat to find somebody, you know, that was in the same line of work as me, and not only that, but I was also interested in the same things, usability, accessibility, et cetera. And at the same time, I had also come across the Refresh 06 conference that's going on in Orlando in November, and the refreshingcities.org website and organization. And Ross and I ended up collaborating and starting up a Refresh Detroit site, so you can check that out at refresh-detroit.org. Did I get everything right?
Yeah, it sounds good. So anybody in the Michigan or Detroit area that wants to join, shoot us an email. I'm sure we'll be doing fun stuff.
Yeah, you can send us an email from that site, or even better, post a message on the blog there, and so everyone can see. So, okay, before we get to it about the lists and accessibility, I just had one other quick announcement to make, and that was WebAx sponsor company, my company, Check Engine USA, received an award for its website from accesssites.org for its usability and accessibility aspects. So that was pretty neat. And there's a link to that on my site and the news RSS feed, which actually can be another announcement. There's now a news RSS feed on the Check Engine USA site. So check it out. Okay. So let's get into our main feature here, lists and accessibility. How and why? Ross, why is it a good idea to use nice standard semantic code for lists?
I think there's a number of accessibility and usability reasons, and really I would say that usability is a big part of accessibility, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely. I always say there's a lot of lap over.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, some of the things we talked about was any time that you have a browser that doesn't display CSS or doesn't render it properly, or you can't load the CSS file for some reason, if you use lists properly, the page will still render correctly, and it'll still be easy to navigate, and
It'll still be easy to read and make sense out of.
Yeah.
Well, now that the biggest reason, obviously, which maybe we should have brought up first, is for people using screen readers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because screen readers will interpret the code properly, when you're using the correct list markup rather than just a bunch of text, like, you know, mixed with kind of weird breaks and paragraphs and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually come across a few websites where instead of, they've made pseudo lists, they've, instead of, you know, using the right markup to create a list, or their end result was they wanted bullets, they used the character, I think you do like an ampersand and then B-U-L-L and a colon, something like that, and if a person using a screen reader was to visit that site, it wouldn't interpret it as well as if it was an actual list.
Right. And I've seen, you know, in the past, this used to be horrible, you know, with these crazy tables and all these goofy characters and people trying to make lists. So the lesson is just stick to the straight, correct markup, which we'll go over in a few minutes. But besides accessibility and just proper markup, and if you lose the style sheet or whatever, I think there's a couple other reasons we came up with. Well, one is the usability that you mentioned a little bit, but just it makes the reading easier and more scannable if it's organized and bulleted or numbered.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve Krug, who wrote Don't Make Me Think, which is a book about web usability, and he's a big web usability consultant, he says that, you know, people don't read pages, they scan them. They look through, you know, finding words or key phrases that catch their eyes. And he also says, omit as many needless words as possible. So with a list, I mean, you can easily say, you know, we feature and then give five features, as opposed to trying to write a whole paragraph about the five features.
Right.
So it really cuts down on the amount of words.
Excellent point. The other point was the, I think you might have mentioned this already also, but search engine optimization, just the whole part of semantic markup and how that's good for SEO. So lists help also.
Absolutely.
And the last point is, I believe it's the last point, is the maintenance aspect for the people on our side doing the development. It's a lot easier to change or update your lists if you have nice, clean code.
Yeah, absolutely.
And easier to style it, too, and to change that styling if necessary. A hell of a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do with CSS and lists. I mean, there's a lot of changing the bullets and that sort of thing, so.
Yeah, and now it's time we'll go, well, we talked about why it's good to use the proper markup for lists, but let's go over a couple different kinds of lists and how you could use them. I guess the first one would be an ordered list, an OL, and that's where the browser will number your items, hence the name ordered list. And what are some good examples of that, Ross?
Really, it's anytime you want to focus on the content has a specific order. So, for example, you wouldn't really want navigation to be an order list because you don't necessarily want to go to the home page first and then the about us second. So something like directions, you know, turn right first and then go 2 miles, you definitely want an ordered list, or directions for a recipe, top 10s or top 100s, you know, those are definitely
that's a good one.
A list.
Yeah.
Dates, possibly.
Well, those are enough good examples. That's pretty straightforward. Yeah, top 10 lists, I think that's a great example. And then, like, recipes or directions. What was the first one you said?
I think directions.
All right. Well, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And the next type of list is the unordered list, the UL tag, and which basically is the bulleted list. And that can be, you know, used for all kinds of stuff. And let's see. Well, one of the main things that it's good to use, nowadays is our menus. And if you go to webx.blogspot.com, there's some sample code of a basic owner list and some CSS to make a basic horizontal menu. Ross, you want to jump in with anything about that?
Sure. Just in case there's any confusion as to why you might want to do menu or navigation list, is if you think about it, navigation essentially is a list. I mean, you're listing all the pages that you can pages you can go to. But you know, you can also use them for features or quick scanning, bullets, that sort of thing.
Right. So the next type of list is the definition list, which is becoming a little more popular, and I have to tell you, I like the definition list.
Yeah, me too. I just found out about it, and I use it quite a lot now.
Yeah, I've been using it for a little while, and what a definition list is basically a list of definitions, strictly speaking, but it could be used for other things, but... I guess, say, take example, a glossary is a good example. You have your DL tag rather than your OL or UL. And then instead of your list items, your LI tags, first you have a definition term, a DT, and say in a glossary that is like giraffe. So then... that's your definition term. So then your definition, your DD, would be right after that, and that would be a description or whatever you want to say about the giraffe. So for a glossary, I guess, you know, it'd be a really tall mammal that lives in Africa. Prime example. But another example, say a more realistic example, well, I guess... I could give that example of a website I've done for a salon, and the definition list, the definition term was the type of service, say like a man's haircut. And then the first DD after that would be a description or definition, you know, of what a men's haircut includes or whatever. And then the second one after that, you could do another DD, and that was the price. And so on. Can you think of any other examples?
Those are good. I think that pretty much covers it. I mean, it's not just it's not just literally defining a word, which it could do, but you can specify like maybe a service that you provide for your definition term. So web design could be an example, and then for the definition itself, you could say we create web pages that are accessible.
Yeah, you could actually give, if a DT is like web design, then a DD, besides that description, you could give like anything. You can include other DDs, other DD tags with, other parts of that service, like our hosting is this, or...
Yeah, absolutely.
You
good
know,
point.
Or blah, blah, blah. But anyways, okay, I think that's enough about definition lists. Let's see. Navigation list?
Navigation lists actually aren't being used yet, but hopefully sometime soon. They're spec for XHTML 2.0.
Okay, that's an NL, it says is the NL tag?
Yep, it will use an NL, and it'll require a label, so you could label, main navigation, secondary navigation, something along those lines.
Oh, that'll be neat.
Yeah, and I think the idea that they're trying to do is right now everybody uses unordered lists for navigation, so this is a little more descriptive and a little more semantic.
Yeah, and probably a little more powerful, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I see.
You can probably style the label or things of that nature. So.
Excellent.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
All right, well, I think that pretty much covers that for lists. So basically, there's ordered lists, unordered lists, definition lists, and coming soon, navigation lists. and they're good to use for screen readers and usability and maintenance and search engine optimization. And and very powerful, you know, with CSS, and you could look up the example code on the podcast blog website, webaxe.blogspot.com. So I just want to say before I thank Ross for joining me in this episode that in the future, look for more episodes with Ross and a couple special episodes coming up soon. I'm interviewing somebody from WebAIM, and if you've been listening to my podcast, you know that's one of my favorite websites. And I'm going to interview an author from A-Press Books, so that'll be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to those.
Yeah, me too. All right, Ross, well, hey, thanks again for joining me in this episode 26 of WebAX.
No problem. I'm honored to be a part of it, and hopefully I can join you more.
Yeah, definitely. All right, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. You can find the WebAX blog and podcast at webaxe.blogspot.com, webaxe.blogspot.com. Email WebAX at webaxe@gmail.com or simply leave a comment on one of the blog or podcast entries. WebAX is brought to you by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. CheckEngineUSA.com.